Welcome to Narracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host.
And I'm here too. Lots of architectural shifts today. We're seeing companies completely rethink how they build software, largely because the AI tools they rely on have gotten so much better.
The math on what's too expensive or too time-consuming is changing in real time. We'll get into how that is playing out at Shopify, plus Microsoft making a massive internal commitment to Rust.
But first, we have to talk about DeepSeek. They just dropped a new model that is messing with the traditional pricing tiers we've gotten used to from the major labs.
DeepSeek just released V4.1 Flash, and it is a fascinating piece of engineering. This is going to put a lot of pressure on Western AI labs.
It really is. The headline numbers here are big, but in a very specific way. V4.1 Flash is built on what they call a causal encoder-decoder architecture. It has native visual understanding and a 1 million token context window.
The parameter counts are where this gets wild. The mixture of experts' backbone is 552 billion parameters. That is huge. They also bolted on 196 billion n-gram memory parameters.
Right. So you hear 552 billion parameters, and you think, this thing must cost a fortune to run, but it's incredibly sparse. During the prefill stage, it only activates 8 billion parameters per token. During decode, it activates 16 billion.
That ratio of inactive to active parameters is exactly how they are driving the cost down while keeping the performance high. You get the reasoning benefits of a large model, but the compute costs of a tiny one.
I want to highlight that 196 billion n-gram memory parameter number. N-gram memory is a relatively new concept in these architectures. It's essentially a dedicated mechanism for the model to store and retrieve facts without clogging up the active reasoning pathways.
Which is critical when you have a 1 million token context window. If you are feeding this model entire code bases or sizable legal documents, it needs a highly efficient way to recall that information without running a full attention mechanism over every single token every single time.
Exactly. And the visual understanding being native is another big piece. They didn't just bolt a vision encoder onto a text model after the fact. It's built right into the causal encoder decoder from the ground up.
DeepSeek claims this new Flash model has comprehensively surpassed their previous V4 Pro model across all key metrics. Better performance, lower cost, faster speeds, quicker task completion. Which leads to the wildest part of this announcement. Starting September 14th, so later this week, if you send an API request to their V4 Pro endpoint, they are automatically routing it to V4.1 Flash instead. And they are charging you the lower Flash pricing rate until they eventually launch a V4.1 Pro model. Imagine OpenAI or Anthropic doing that. Our new cheap model is better than our old flagship, so we're just going to downgrade your billing and upgrade your outputs.
It completely collapses the traditional tiering system. It forces the entire industry to rethink how they price intelligence. If DeepSeek can scale a backbone to over 500 billion parameters and still charge bargain basement rates because the active compute is so low, how do you compete with that?
You have to wonder how sustainable this approach is. Can you just keep inflating the backbone indefinitely?
There has to be a ceiling on how sparse you can get before the routing mechanisms themselves become the bottleneck. But for now, they are passing those efficiency gains directly to developers.
Our next story connects directly to something we talked about yesterday. Shopify is completely abandoning React Native and moving its shop app back to native development in Swift and Kotlin.
Which is a big reversal. Starting around 2020, Shopify became one of the biggest enterprise champions of React Native. They went all in, unified large portions of their mobile code base, and even adopted React Native's new architecture.
They were the poster child for cross-platform development. But the math has changed, and the reason is AI coding agents.
The breaking point was a proof of concept. A single Shopify engineer used coding agents and managed to port a large chunk of their existing React Native application directly into a native iOS app using Swift UI. And they did it in 1 week.
1 week. Historically, the entire argument for React Native was payroll. Maintaining a dedicated iOS team and a dedicated Android team is expensive. You use a cross-platform framework so you can write the logic once and share it.
You accept the abstraction layers and the occasional performance hits because the economic trade-off is worth it. But if an AI agent can instantly translate your business logic and write the boilerplate for Swift and Kotlin, that economic argument evaporates.
You get the superior performance and the natural feel of a truly native application without the traditional overhead of maintaining two completely separate code bases by hand.
Yesterday, we covered Tailwind Labs joining Shopify after their documentation-based business model took an 80% hit from AI coding assistants. Shopify is clearly realizing that AI agents don't just change how you write code. They change the fundamental architecture of what you choose to build.
The human element of that one-week proof of concept is striking. Porting a major app in 5 working days implies that the translation layer between React Native and Swift UI is far more mechanical than we usually admit.
A lot of cross-platform development is just mapping state management and UI components from one paradigm to another. AI is exceptionally good at mechanical mapping.
It raises a big question for the open source community. Shopify heavily backed and maintained a lot of crucial React Native libraries. With them pivoting away, what happens to that ecosystem?
Someone else will have to step up, or those libraries will stagnate. Corporate-backed open source is always tied to internal business priorities. When those shift, the community often gets left holding the bag.
It does make me wonder about Android, though. Porting to Swift UI is one thing, but replicating that success with Jetpack Compose on Android in the same timeframe is another challenge entirely.
We'll have to see if the AI agents handle Compose as elegantly. The Android hardware ecosystem is infinitely more fragmented.
Let's talk about another major architectural shift. This time over at Microsoft, they have officially elevated Rust to Tier 1 language status.
That puts it right alongside C++, C#, and TypeScript for internal development at Microsoft.
Getting to Tier 1 at a company that size isn't just about saying they like the language. It means providing a fully supported, paved path for engineers. Secure tool chains, local development environments, and full compliance with Microsoft's security development lifecycle requirements.
The technical unlock that made this possible is an alternative code generation backend called RustKai CodeGen UTC.
Right. So instead of relying entirely on LLVM, which is the standard backend for Rust, this wires the Rust compiler directly into MSVC's native compiler backend, which is known as UTC.
Which solves a sizable interoperability headache. The Windows ecosystem is built on C and C++. If you want to write low-level drivers, kernel components, or high-performance microservices, you have to play nice with Microsoft's proprietary toolchains. This custom backend has actually been production-ready since early 2026. It's been self-hosted since Rust version 1.90. And Microsoft is already actively using it across more than 100 internal project repositories.
The security angle is the real driver here. Microsoft has been under immense pressure to eliminate memory safety vulnerabilities. C and C++ are notorious for buffer overflows and use-after-free bugs that lead to zero-day exploits. Rust eliminates entire classes of those bugs at compile time.
But Microsoft's internal security checks are strict. By plugging directly into MSVC, Rust code inherits the battle-tested code generation and security mitigations that Microsoft has spent decades building.
It essentially tricks the Windows build system into treating Rust like a native citizen. The linker doesn't care. It just sees standard Microsoft object files.
Tying the Rust compiler directly to a proprietary backend like MSVC does create an interesting philosophical tension, though.
Rust has traditionally prided itself on being independent from platform-specific toolchains.
It does, but if you want enterprise adoption at the OS level, you have to compromise. The friction of mixing languages in Visual Studio was too high. This lowers the barrier to entry for thousands of Windows developers.
I am curious to see if any weird edge cases pop up when you bypass LLVM entirely for Windows builds.
There are bound to be some optimization quirks, but having it self-hosted and running in production for months suggests they've ironed out the biggest blockers.
Anthropic just pushed a synchronized wave of SDK updates to support new agentic capabilities, starting with Java version 2.62.0.
The update brings API support for auto-mode tool permissions for managed agents, and it adds a new content-too-large error code for their web fetch tool.
They rolled out the exact same features for Ruby developers with the release of version 1.70.0.
One detail that stands out across these updates is support for managed agents to mount public GitHub repositories without needing an authorization token, which removes a lot of setup friction.
And rounding out the ecosystem, the TypeScript SDK hit version 0.125.0 with those identical auto mode permissions.
TypeScript is the backbone for so many of these Claude integrations, so getting fine-grained boundary control for autonomous agents out to the JavaScript community is a big step.
Finally, Apple has officially entered the foldable market, announcing the iPhone Duo. New CEO John Ternus debuted the device, which features a 7.6-inch inner display and starts at $1,999. If you're planning to upgrade, it officially releases on October 23rd. That is all we have for you today.
Thanks for listening.
We'll be back tomorrow with more updates. Catch you then.